The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So over the last decade or so, I have preached a lot of sermons, and a fair number of those sermons have been here at St. Andrew's. And of course, every sermon has its particular challenges, but the challenge of this particular sermon is new for me, because tonight I have to say goodbye to my friend and to our rector and to his family. And I want to be honest about what Derek has meant to me and what Derek has meant to us, but I don't want to give Derek the big head. This is going to be a little tricky, because Derek has meant a lot to me and to us. Yeah, I don't know if it helps or hurts. He heard this yesterday, actually, so he's getting a double dose. But. So everyone here has our own FETS story. That's the story of how we came to know and to love Derek and Jamie and, of course, Mari. So here's mine. I first met Derek shortly after I arrived in this diocese 7 years ago. This was long before I came to St. Andrew's. So at the time, Derek had been here for a couple of months, and I was just starting over at St. David's. And we met in a diocesan program for priests who were new to their positions. So like virtually everyone, I was immediately drawn to Derek, just in that very first session. And in that very first time that we met, Derek and I talked about the possibility of getting together for lunch sometime and collaborating in ministry in some way. So neither of us suspected at that time how much collaborating we would end up doing. Nothing really came of that first meeting much, except that I knew I really liked Derek. So we continued to see each other every month or so for the next couple of years at various clergy gatherings. And after 2 years, Derek announced to our clergy group that he planned to hire a part-time associate. So I immediately told him I was interested in applying. And what I didn't say then, what I can say now, I didn't want to say it then because I didn't want to be a suck-up. But a significant part of the appeal was the prospect of working with Derek. So 5 years later, here we are, and I can say that I was right. Working with Derek has been a delight. It has been one of the great joys of my priesthood. So depending on the day, and depending sometimes on the moment, Derek has been for me a good friend, and a good colleague, and a good boss, and as needed, a good pastor. And it really does, and I really want to emphasize this because this is a big deal, it takes a person of remarkable grace and tact to be able to occupy all those different roles consistently and flexibly and to do that for 5 years. So that's been my relationship with Derek. But as part of the St. Andrew's staff, That is to say, as one who has also worked closely with Derek as a priest, I can say that I've gotten to see a little bit behind the scenes of Derek's priesthood and to see what he's really like under all those fancy robes. And here's the thing. He's the real deal. So I say what you know. Derek is a remarkable priest with a remarkable range of gifts. So here are just a few things that I have seen, a few things about Derek that I am grateful for Derek as rector. So first, as a member of the staff, I am grateful for Derek's compassionate leadership. I'm grateful for his engagement. I'm grateful for his ability to delegate. And just on that compassionate leadership, I'll say that Derek is the only boss I have ever had who really seems to say, who really does say and really seems to mean to his staff, you need to take all your time off. And if you need it, if you're worn out, take extra time. That's a great thing for a boss. So as a part of this institution, I'm grateful for Derek's organization. I'm grateful for his ability to plan ahead. I'm grateful for his genuine desire to be inclusive and collaborative. And I'm grateful for his gift of communication in a whole range of media. And again, I say what you perhaps know, but I've known a lot of priests, and Derek is hands down and without competitor the best priest I know at all of that stuff. And then as part of this, as a faith community, I am grateful for Derek's personal warmth and accessibility, for his creativity in worship, and above all, really, for his commitment to prayer and spiritual growth. And I mean both his own, because Derek is clearly on this journey in a real way, and also on ours. So Derek has, over these last years, helped all of us to grow closer to God. And that's what we're really all about. So now, Derek and Jamie and Mari are leaving us, and we are losing a remarkable priest, and we're losing a wonderful family. So I say to Derek and to Jamie and to Mari somewhere that we wish you well, and we are deeply sorry to see you go, but as you together take this next step in your Christian journey, you go with our blessings and with our gratitude and with our love. So this morning for all of us, our task is to say goodbye. To say goodbye to the Fetzes, and to laugh and to cry, and to begin the process of letting go. And in the weeks and the months ahead, we will grieve, and we will move on. And Derek is going to be a very tough act to follow. But when the time comes, we will have a new rector to love and to do what we need to do to shape and also to follow. And in the meantime, we will be fine. We are blessed with outstanding lay leadership, and I really mean that. We really are blessed here with outstanding lay leadership, which will help us to sort of navigate through whatever comes. And that's a great gift, and it is a great comfort as we enter an interim period. But even more important is the basic truth of our faith, and this is the true ground of our confidence and of our hope. And it's simple. Life is a journey, and we have to keep moving, and God is with us along the way. That's the lesson, I think, especially of our Old Testament reading. It's a really fabulous reading for this day. So before the reading picks up, I don't know how well you know the story of Elijah, but Elijah has just had a great victory over the priest of a pagan god called Baal. And this is clearly one of the high points of Elijah's prophetic career, and it must have been a great, great day for Elijah. But life is complicated, even for the great prophets, and the good times do not last, even for the great prophets. And so Elijah bumps into Queen Jezebel, and Jezebel is angry at what Elijah has done, and so Jezebel threatens to kill him. And you do not mess with Jezebel, even if you are Elijah. So that's where our reading picks up. So as it begins, Elijah is journeying a day's journey into the wilderness, but that journey is him fleeing for his life. And Elijah, as he journeys, gives way to despair. And he prays to God that he can just die. This is Elijah's time in the valley of the shadow of death. And unfortunately, we all spend time over the course of our lives in the valley of the shadow of death. And that's why this passage is good news. Because God does not abandon Elijah, no matter what Elijah himself might think. God is faithful, and God is present, and God sends an angel to offer Elijah comfort and sustenance. And even that wasn't enough. Elijah, in that moment, needed more. And so here's some more good news. God does not give up on Elijah, as God does not give up on us. God sends an angel a second time, and this time the angel has this message for Elijah: get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. There is a promise for us in that last line. God does not promise a life free from trouble. Now, we don't have to worry about murderous pagan queens, but we have plenty of troubles of our own. Troubles are part of the journey. They are a fact of human life. What God promises us is to be with us always, to be with us especially in times of transition and trouble. God promises to be with us and to feed us with the food that sustains us on the journey. And that food is Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. And whoever eats that food will never be hungry, no matter where the journey takes us. So in just a few minutes, we will share the bread of life with the Fetz family for the last time. And it is an ending. And our journeys continue. And God is with us. And we are nourished for the journey by Christ's body and blood. And that is the good news of great joy. And so on this, Derek's last Sunday with us as rector of St. Andrews, I give thanks to God for allowing us to journey for a time with Derek and with Jamie and with Mari. And I give thanks to God for inviting all of us to continue our own journeys deeper into God. And I give thanks to God for the bread of life that will sustain us all along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.